Reasons to Suffer a Gotham Summer, written by Shadow Fairy Amy and read by Flower Parish. This is a Batman and Danny Phantom crossover, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship between Bat Family members and Danny Fenton. Summary. Summers in Gotham are disgusting, humid and sticky despite gray skies. Yet, here Danny is, suffering through it for an internship at Wayne Enterprises. Or at least that's the excuse he tells people when asked. Danny hates Gotham summers almost as much as he hates getting blasted by a lipstick laser, though it's a close second. In summer, Gotham gets hot. One might expect that to be not so bad due to the cloudy, gray, rainy weather. Except actually, that makes it worse because humidity is a thing. All of that moisture turns into a thick, sticky, nasty humidity that clogs the lungs. It's gross. At least back home, he used to get sun. But this year, he's staying in Gotham for the summer due to an internship at Wayne Enterprises. An internship he got the normal way, and not at all because he's superhero friends with the Waynes, or at least that's what he tells anyone who asks. And technically, it's true that he applied and went through an interview process. It was just a formality more than anything in his case. Not that any of that matters. What does matter is that Danny is stuck in hot, cloudy, humid Gotham for the summer instead of back home. He's going to make the most of it.
Do you have eyes on him?
The voice comes tinny through the communicator. It doesn't work with his ghost anatomy as well as the Fenton phone did, but it's a lot stealthier. It's also connected to all of the bats, which the Fenton phone wouldn't be able to manage. Danny scans the rooftops for his prey. When the familiar blur passes by, he lets a feral grin form on his face. Target in sight. How about you?
Ready and in position.
Summer in Gotham is gross. Everyone agrees. It was a popular topic in the Batcave the other night. So, Danny and Tim decided that it would be a great idea to offer their teammates a reprieve from the summer heat on patrol. They're thoughtful like that. Danny gets into place, hovering in the air over Robin, who has stopped on a fire escape to mutter into his own communicator. With Danny invisible, he has no idea that the ghost is there. Perfect. Now, Danny whispers, at the same time as he overturns a bag of water balloons directly over Robin's head. It's quick enough that even a bat can't evade the deluge. Each balloon bursts over him with a satisfying pop. From the faint sound of shrieking from the other side of the comm line, it sounds like Tim's water balloons also hit their target. The best thing about being a ghost is that, when Robin tries to find him while looking like a drowned cat on the verge of a hissy fit, there's no one to be found. Granted, this means Robin will know it was likely him, but that's not the problem. Worst case scenario, Robin attacks him and Danny gets another sword for his collection. He's planning to gift them all back to Damien on his birthday for maximum drama, a plan he came up with Jason's help. The same Jason that's going to be pissed at him when he realizes that Danny had a hand in tonight's antics. Totally worth it. "You absolute cretin!" Robin shouts from down below. Danny holds back a snicker so he doesn't give away his location. "You insufferable buffoon! This will be the end of you, and nobody will ever find your remains!" Big talk for someone that follows the Big Bat's rules, but effective. A shiver shoots down Danny's spine like an electric shock. It feels like a whisper of re-death. Making sure to float invisibly a safe distance away, Danny throws his voice to disguise his location. Not likely to work against Robin, but worth a shot. "You looked a bit overheated, Baby Bat, so thought I'd help cool you off. No need to thank me." Robin growls. Genuinely, like his pet dog. Growls. "Phantom, if you were not already dead, I would promise you a slow and painful end." And that's his cue to leave. "Love you too, Baby Bat. See you at the cave later." Shouts follow him as he flies off in the direction of a scheduled rendezvous. It's a bit early, but he's better off here than anywhere near the little bat he just offered a bird bath. The look on his face as he tried to find Danny, expression scrunched and hair dripping wet, was totally worth the death threats. It's not like Damien's going to follow through on them anyway. He'll forgive Danny easily enough with the offer of their own prank. It wouldn't be the first time Danny has changed sides. He is notorious for his reluctance to ally himself with any one bat for too long, wanting to spend time with all of them equally, and finding the best way to do it. And if that time is often used to prank the other bats, nobody complains too much, since they all know it'll be their turn soon. Danny loves living in Gotham. He loves the people that fill his time with laughter and joy and the itch of glitter on the back of his neck. No matter how awful the weather is, Danny wouldn't trade these moments for anything. The weather really does suck, though. Red Robin drops onto the roof with a huff, sweat glistening on his face. "This was a terrible idea," he pants. "Hood chased me for way longer than should have been possible in this weather. Next time, the gun-wielding maniac is your problem. I'll take the stabby child." Despite his complaining, Danny knows Tim way too well to not see past the words. He smiles and presses a cool hand to Tim's cheek like an ice pack. "You're having a great time." Tim leans into the hand like he's pressing his overheated face into a cooler. "I'm having the time of my life. Next time, we should get the girls in on it so we can hit Batman and Nightwing at the same time." Steph, Cass, and Babs are having a night in with Jazz and Sam, while Tucker is running the clock tower. Jazz and Sam wouldn't stoop low enough to get involved with the ongoing prank war between the bats with Danny as an active participant, but the others would gladly join in if invited. It's a fun idea for the next time their patrol schedules line up. "Next time," Danny promises, already planning it in his head. He takes his hand back and settles down on the edge of the roof, legs dangling. It's not like he has to worry about falling anyway. Red Robin settles next to him and presses against his shoulder. Danny nudges him, but doesn't actually push him away. "I'm still not an ice pack." "Sure you're not," Tim placates, obviously humoring him. "Jerk." A light frost spreads from their point of contact outward, inching its way slowly up unnoticed until it reaches the collar of Red's uniform and dips over the edge of it. The vigilante, with grace and dignity, yelps and jumps up while slapping a hand to his neck. "Phantom!" Nobody is safe from Danny and their prank war, not even whoever he's partnering with in the moment. He grins inhumanly wide and fades out before Tim can get his retribution. Maybe that's part of why nobody ever keeps a grudge against him for his shenanigans. They know that their usual tactics wouldn't work. That's true of Robin, at least, when they run into each other the next day at the manor. It's a Tuesday, and on Tuesday nights, Team Phantom always joins dinner at the Wayne Manor before taking the night off. Alfred is happy to accommodate the varying diets, ready to feed an ultra-recyclo-vegetarian and half-ghost alike. The others have long since stopped being freaked out by the glowing green part of Danny and Jazz's diets. It turns out that, after being exposed to ecto-contaminated food your entire life, your body gets accustomed to it and college dining hall food does not meet the dietary needs you didn't know you had. "You have a re-death wish," Damien glares from across the long dining table. The effect is diminished by the smear of sauce on his chin from the eggplant parmesan for dinner. Or, in Danny and Jazz's case, eggplant parmesan with ectoplasm in the sauce. Or, in the case of the meat eaters, chicken parmesan. He doesn't even know what's happening on Sam's plate. "Am I forgiven if I let you in on an idea I have?" The table stills at that. Team Phantom keep eating, knowing it has nothing to do with them, but the bats all freeze and stare. It would be creepy if Danny wasn't used to stuff like that. Damien put his fork down and steepled his fingers beneath his chin like a young cartoon villain. "I will consider it. We shall speak after dinner." Perfect. Danny came up with an amazing prank to get back at Tim for finishing his favorite cave snack last week and not replacing them. The half-ghost returned from patrol with a craving and was met with an empty space where his snack of choice was meant to be. Tim hadn't even bothered to inform Alfred about the need for a restock. Of course, that wasn't enough to stop Danny from their scheduled bonding time, but he doesn't forget things like that easily. Conversation tabled for the time being, everyone slowly goes back to eating, sending the occasional suspicious glance their way. Tim especially seems wary, as he should. There are a few hours between dinner and patrol, so Danny doesn't seek Damien out immediately. Sam and Tucker head out early because they have plans in the morning. The Fenton siblings help Alfred with the dishes as an excuse to spend time with the kindly old man. Bruce, Tim, and Danny talk for a bit about Wayne Enterprises' business, even though they're in different departments. Jason pulls Danny aside to say that he didn't appreciate the unexpected shower last night, but seeing the street footage of Robin throwing a hissy fit over the same treatment was hilarious. It isn't until after all of that, once the others have been distracted and started to forget the threat of chaos, that Danny seeks out Robin. Finding the youngest of their group is easy. He's only ever in a handful of places. Anywhere one of his animals is will always be a safe bet, or the cave, or his room. Sometimes he's in the attic, feeling a sort of peace in the space that Danny doesn't really understand. Today, he's in the library, where Alfred the cat has chosen to nap on the back of an armchair. Damien is sitting in the chair itself, cross-legged with a book in his lap. When Danny walks in, Damien snaps the book closed and looks up at him with a sharp glare worthy of a supervillain. "I've been expecting you." Danny rolls his eyes at the theatrics and throws himself down on the nearby couch. It's an overstuffed paisley thing that may have been nice once, but is faded and dingy now. Or as dingy as anything can get with Alfred Pennyworth around to keep things presentable. "Of course you have. We agreed to talk after dinner. Now it's after dinner." "You mentioned a plan as an offer of apology." "More like a bribe to let yesterday's prank go, but close enough." "Elaborate." It doesn't take long to explain. The plan is simple but diabolical. Swap Tim's dark chocolate-covered coffee beans with milk chocolate ones. He keeps them stocked everywhere as his favorite pick-me-up snack, just like the treat that he practically stole from Danny. Damien seems skeptical until Danny explains exactly what makes the plan so evil. Tim doesn't like milk chocolate. He thinks it's too sweet and creamy in a way that both tastes and feels unpleasant. However, it won't be bad enough for him to justify throwing them out or not eating them. It's still coffee beans, and he can logic his way into believing it's basically the same thing, even though it tastes distinctly wrong. He'll make himself eat them, and every bite will be a little bit of mundane torture. And it's ultimately harmless, so there won't be any major fallout. As it's explained, Damien watches him with a critical eye that increases in approval with each word. At the end, he's even smirking. Win. "I am thankful that you continue to be on our side and have yet to defect. You would be a worthy adversary." "Thank you." From Damien, it's probably the highest praise that anyone could possibly get. "We shall implement the plan tomorrow. Alfred shall be cutting off his supply of energy drinks, which will cause him to crash. That will be the perfect time to perform the switch." They spend a few more minutes ironing out the plan, but a long yawn on Danny's side cuts the conversation short. Family dinner days are the one night a week when Danny heads to bed early, and he's ready to crash himself. He excuses himself with a promise to arrive on time tomorrow afternoon for their plan, and slips out. Jazz is waiting for him in the kitchen, seated at the counter with a steaming cup of tea in her hands. It doesn't even hiss when she takes a sip. "Ready to head out?" "No." Outside is the horrible summer Gotham weather. From the moment he steps outside, his clothes will stick uncomfortably to his skin and the polluted air will clog his lungs. He'll suffer for every second spent out there. He won't start feeling better until after a 15-minute lukewarm shower that will turn icy long before that time is up. Inside, at Wayne Manor, there's air conditioning. The air is cool and crisp with none of the smog from the streets. He doesn't have to worry about discomfort of any kind, as spoiled as that makes him sound. And that's the part drawing him in more than anything about the weather. At Wayne Manor, he's comfortable. Safe. He's surrounded by people that he cares about and that he knows, without a doubt, care about him. They stock his favorite snacks and have a galaxy print blanket in the family room just for him. It feels like home in a way that's both the same as and so different from Fenton Works. As much as he uses his Wayne Enterprises internship as an excuse to stick around during the disgusting summer months, he knows this is the real reason. Danny loves dropping water balloons on people's heads with Red Robin and getting retaliation for stolen snacks with Damien. Danny loves weekly dinners where he knows the food won't attack him but will fill his weird ghostly needs all the same. Danny loves this big, ridiculous family that decided he and the people he loves most are worthy of being part of it. It's worth every second of hot, sticky air he'll suffer once he steps outside to know that he'll be right back here tomorrow. The end. Podfigures note. This was potted for It All Comes Back to Andriel as part of the 48-hour speed gift exchange thing. And thank you so much to the author for allowing me to podfic this work. And especially for getting back to me so quick when I asked, because that meant I could use it for this. Thanks.